Right. Okay. Right. Okay. So I'm all right. And when I say failing, if you've listened to me, I believe it's a long process to change. I believe even the thing of saying, doing it wrong, let's do it right. Okay, that if we're not careful, we go from the frying pan to the fire. We try another method. Churches are good at that. For example, James Dobson, 20, 30 years ago, wrote, what was it, Tough Love or whatever, something like that? Yeah, right? All right, so in there, and back then, it wasn't abusive to talk about spanking. So then they tell you how and where and when and all this stuff. And people weren't looking at it like you were creepy. You're like, all right, that helps. Thank you. Let's do that. One, two, three, you're done. All right? All of a sudden, you realize, well, you got everybody that's learned how to spank and that set up boundaries. And now all of a sudden, you realize, yeah, but I'm losing their heart. Oh, Ted Tripp writes, Shepherding a Child's Heart. And all the child training starts focusing on mentoring your child. All right? Well, now we go, don't spank them. Don't yell at them. Don't stop them. You need to mentor their heart. And it's like, no, you don't understand. You just went from one extreme to the other extreme. They're both required. Both. So that's why you'll hear when I'll say, I think we need adult spankings, is we're so busy saying, don't tell me. And some of you are that personality. A lot of you just look at you with a blank look saying, you know, you push any harder than this, you're not gentle, you're not caring for us. What we've lost is that, and we were talking about this in men's fellowship yesterday, what we've lost is that desire is part of the process of change. But desire alone is not able to help us to change. All the commands in the Bible are because we're not going to want to do it. You're going to have to be guided sometime where you don't want to go. You go, well, what happens if I'm always doing what I don't want to do? How do I know it's God and not somebody else? Well, I told you in Quest for More, remember I read the things on Wednesday night? Here's the guilt thing for you. I think we're so distracted that one of the reasons we don't let go of some of the services is because less time together is going to make us run off with our own solutions and never get tied to the we. I get it. I'm closing my eyes because I don't like doing this. I don't like coming in the front door like this. There is a total package here. When you hear me teach, I'm not just teaching a Bible study. I'm trying to think, this is the problem. How do we expose the problem? Then what is the path to the solution? Okay? You guys aren't here Wednesday night. You're not here other times. You're missing half the package with that. I say that carefully with my eyes closed because the answer there is not black and white. If you're not here, I don't want you to just show up. I want you to work through the things of saying, how do we get more of the pieces? They called seminary cemetery because well-meaning people wanted to go and be prepared for ministry. When they got there, the professor said, well, where's your foundation for all the things you're believing? And if they weren't careful, the professors took everything you were believing, gave you doubts about it, shook it all up, and left you without answers and became cemetery. You lost your faith at Bible school. Well, that's the danger, and that's why I closed my eyes. And that's why there's a grin on my face. One, I know it declares war if I keep pushing buttons. But we have to have all the pieces fitting. If we're really going to be tied to the head, you're not tied to any one person, including the preachers. On the other side, if we figure it all the way out on our own between us and the Holy Spirit, prove to me you're not relying on your own understanding. If you collect people, and here's the bigger problem, you go, well, I talked to these people and they found these verses. I talked to these people and they found these verses. Do you realize what's going on as the seminaries are shutting down, big seminaries that have been around forever, and there's less and less preachers going? You know what that means? Two things. One, people aren't going to be pastors. Two, they're saying you don't need that stuff in order to lead the church. What were they teaching? And you go, some of them were wrong. Yes, they were. But some of it, there is way more than the stuff that we're seeing. Now, that being said, you have enough in your English Bible. What do you need to do? Love the Lord your heart, God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. You say, I do? Well, then you'll submit to the process of change. When you see the eternal nature of God, you'll realize there's always more, always more. But then you want to say, God, why did you bring this into my life? It's a gift. I think Sheldon's been the only one to verbalize it. Said, why am I here? Because this is a church that'll kick me out. This is a church that will chase after me. All right? He's one of the few that I've heard verbalize and get his own version of that. All right? He's recognizing if I'm left to myself, all right, I might get some right, but I might get a pile of other stuff not right. That being said, talk to him. And he's a slow pull for things he doesn't agree with. I told him I love when he gets kind of grumbly about what he hears up here. Because it means he's listening, goes, that doesn't fit. No way. You know what's funny? He keeps coming back for more, and he doesn't tune me out. Tracy, is those 17 words that are put up on the wall. That slow, awkward, big back burner. Why big back burner? Because you go, I have to think about this. I hear you, but to change my whole life for that one piece, I got to think through how this ripples through the other pieces. Because otherwise, you change this one piece, and then you turn around and you go, it's not sustainable. There's too many other pieces that aren't right. Why am I bringing this up? My goal is, you got to be you. Every one of us in here has to be. It won't last. That's why I've said we should be the best disagreeing members a church has ever had. All right? I like being right. You like being right. Well, I don't know. Maybe somebody in here doesn't like being right. But most of us like being right. Okay? But if we are seeing dimly, the point isn't just getting on the same page. The point is us walking in fellowship with a holy God. There's too many pieces. I think that we have dumbed down the gospel so much in America. And I know, and you know, they'll talk about it in Africa and South America and all these other, yes, there's a mess. The charismatic movement has just swept through and turned people away from the sufficiency of scriptures. It's made a mess. But we're heading the same place with our independence. The best thing you can do is just tolerate things that don't quite fit. Think about it and head in that direction. Say, I don't know. This seems dumb, but... And you read it. Kathy had plenty of things wrong. All right? Some of you were thankful I brought that up at the funeral. Some of you thought I shouldn't do that. I'm tired of Hallmark views of everybody. I would rather say honest. This is where, right or wrong, this is where I thought were her strengths. This is where she was struggling. You do the same about me. I hope you find some strengths. But you do it. It's natural. Anybody that's pushing you, it's natural for you to look at them and think, they're not right about that. And sometimes you're right. But that's what Kathy, with all the things that she had wrong, she'd look at these things and go, I don't know who these people are. I don't know why this matters. And then that's why she marked it all up. Why? Because she was going to go look up the words. And then she was going to go back. And then she'd come to me and go, I don't want this book. And when I listened to her, she totally got it backwards. She's like, he's saying this and this and this. I go, no, he's saying the exact opposite. All right? It meant some grumbly conversations. But it meant that she was hungry enough to like, I don't know, there's something in here. We got to find it out because I want to grow. And as she was growing and bumbling, yeah, it made it rough. That was her. Maybe you're not rough. Maybe I'm rough. Okay? But that would be speaking the truth in love. Let's grow up into all aspects to him who's the head. Now, we're cheating because this is the talk about discipleship. I'm going to get to that here in a second. But my thing is, you need to know there's way more wrestling going on before something shows up in your bulletin. I'll work on the half-full glass. I'm not quite there yet. I'm a little half-empty glass kind of person. So then I go, yeah, they won't even get a bulletin. Yeah, their kid will turn it into an airplane. Yeah, they read three words and say it's not relevant. Yeah, they'll see it's part 6 and go, where's part 1? That yeah, they'll say, I don't know how to find it on the internet. And two, they don't want to ask anybody. And so you say, stop. You're right. All of us have to try. Paul, what did he say? I planted, Apollos watered. God brings the growth. God brings the growth. I have to learn that. And I hope you know that too. And I hope we're learning to use some of these resources. All right? So what I'm saying is, I've told you, I sit in a room full of books, and I often feel like the pastoring that people want has nothing to do with these books. And that's what's got me concerned. Well, those books, most of them are in-depth studies of books of the Bible, how to process the books of the Bible, church history, and we all can't read everything, which means we need to trust. Who do we trust? How do we head somewhere together? And that's where we'll have to say, just keep heading. If you tolerate these discussions, by God's grace, we'll not only give you things that you can grab, but see, Kathy was changing. So you talked to Stan. He came in right before our big blow-up in 06. When that blow-up happened, he's like, I don't know, man. And he was listening to both sides, and they both made sense. And I told him, you can't do anything else, Stan. Right now, if both sides make sense, then both sides make sense. So you'd be lying to say, you're right. Stan has other issues that come up. But over all these issues, these years, he's figured out some of those. And that's what we're looking for. It'll help the universal church. It'll show glory to God if you start from where you are and then just enter into the discussion slowly. It's going to include you feeling like, I don't know how to fit this. I don't know why it's important, but I'm listening. And it include, I brought Sheldon, I think he can handle it. He can get me later if he doesn't. It can handle the grumblies. I don't know how to change without the grumblies. I don't know how to do that. I won't change well without, you know, thinking, Bill, you don't know. And if you knew, you wouldn't push me and stop telling me I'm whining and you don't know my life and you don't know my thoughts. And guys, unless you're totally one with the people in your house, whoever it is, I don't know why you're thinking we're going to be totally one with the people in here. Why? For other reason. It takes forever. You have to get tired of the cold shoulder, and then finally you realize, this stinks, man. I want supper. And then you finally, you kind of come with a white flag and come with a truce. Are you totally repentant every time you work through something in your house? You know, I was totally wrong. Will you forgive me? I see it your way. You were right. You know, come on. That doesn't happen in our homes. In the church, it's going to be so much slower. We wave at each other for a few services, and you all came here. You were singing the praises of the Lord on your way. Some of you were. Good for you. Some of you, like me, are thinking, why weren't we here earlier, right? And all the other things. So it happens slowly. So the grin on my face, I call it slapping you with a wet noodle. I'm very thankful for this group, as I ache for that pastor this morning, as he says goodbye, as he was pushed out. Goodbye. Where's our hope? In the head of the church. It's right in your bulletin. Let's sing it. Oops. My bad. Okay. All right. For the first time in a couple years, we have a new song for you. What wonder of wonders, what love is this, that Christ would die for me? His goodness, His merit, His righteousness, this sinner's only plea. Oh, foolish pride, be crucified. The work is finished. All my boast is in Jesus. All my hope is His love. And I will glory forever in what the cross has done. Now fully forgiven, my life is filled with graces undeserved. For mercy that flowed down the sacred hill, let praises now return.
Rise up, my soul, and bless the Lord. Who else is worthy? All my boast is in Jesus, front page. All my hope in His love. And I will glory forever in what the cross has done. Now flip it. Flip it. Ready? Here we go. Oh, praise the one forever. Bless Him alone, my heart adores. And I will boast in nothing less than the love of Christ my Lord. Do that bridge again. Do it again. Ready? Oh, praise the one forever. Bless Him alone, my heart adore. And I will boast in nothing less than the love of Christ my Lord. Verse 3, I boast not in riches, in strength or might, but in the grace of Christ. To live is Christ, in plenty or in want, that I may know, that all may see His power within me. All my is in Jesus, all my hope in His love, and I will glory forever in what the cross has done. Now I stand in His freedom, ransomed clean in His sight, and then not be ashamed, for my boast is Jesus Christ. My boast is Jesus Christ. Forever my boast is Jesus Christ. Good job. Christ, forever my boast is. Forever my boast is Jesus Christ.
Yep, a couple high notes in there. I guess that's so you don't get comfortable with the tune. Most of these tunes are pretty easy to follow, except for a couple notes. Lord Jesus, thank you. That was not how I planned to open it. They are true thoughts. It is the engine room of what's going on underneath. And I was thinking that because I was thinking about that pastor as he said, I don't even know where I'll go. Where do I go to church next week? He said, I just love what's happening inside of the church. He says, I love the songs we're singing. I love the people. I love, and it was just, why can't we work on this together? So in the heaviness, realizing it's a privilege to be able to sing together. It's a privilege to be able to laugh together. Help us to see it's a privilege at times to not get it with each other, to feel like we're with people who are not like us, who see things differently. Would you help us, Father? Because you say in Psalm 121 that the one who keeps Israel doesn't slumber or sleep. You say that you are working. And Father, we see pieces of that. And I do all over. I would never want to start all over again. I'm excited for the work that you are doing in our life. And it becomes a privilege to be able to say, come on, let's keep looking. We're in a battle. And we don't have the luxury of just being able to be caught up with whatever's bugging us. There's bigger fish to fry. There's more going on. So would you help us, Father? Alert is a very biblical category. And so, Father, would you help us to be alert? But would you make us run to you as our refuge, as our rock, as our help, as we talked about the Holy Spirit just a tiny bit last week. Father, we need the Spirit to lift up Christ inside of our life. So I pray, as we learn songs like this, that it would be a rally cry, so it would be a reminder that, I don't know, but I do want to be under Him, and I do thank Him. I want to be more grateful for what we've been given in Christ. So, Father, would you help us as we head into this Advent season? Thank you so much for the gospel and for where you're helping us to see that all our hope is in Jesus. We come in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not going to stay there, but this is just the jump-off thing. Because remember what we've been saying is if... All right, so Dever's question, all right, what does it say about our following Jesus if our following Jesus is not actively helping others to follow Jesus? Okay, we went to a couple passages showing that that was normal. Now, then what he was saying is not just you're wrong, he was saying we have different priorities in following him. That fits with my deck of cards analogy. That's what stuck in my head. Is not my point is, am I right or are you right, but where is my deck of cards out of order? It's like this is at 10 and it should be up at 5, all right? This is at 3 and it should be down at 13, okay? And that's something that takes some time. Otherwise, you're always shuffling the deck, and we're not looking for that. Ephesians tells us not to be unstable in all our ways. But if our following Jesus is not actively helping others to follow Jesus, the argument is there's different priorities in following him. Means our mission from God is slightly different. All right? Somebody asked me yesterday when I said in men's fellowship, if you think I'm asking a lot, God's asking for more. And they thought, well, I'm not sure of that. You seem to be asking an awful lot. Wait, careful. I'm not asking for more time from you. I'm asking for what you use your time for. Not asking for more stuff on your plate. I'm asking for you to consider what stuff is on your plate. And when you go, well, I don't know what to change. You're right. I'm not going to change that for you. All right? My mom, we all need to pray more, right? You hear my mom and you believe we all need to pray more, all right? My mom came from not just my mom. There was a whole background. When I say we don't have the same evangelical heritage, there was a lot more people like my mom floating around 50 years ago, all right? They were reading the same books. They were focused on different different things back then, okay? So she would say not everybody has to pray the way she does. She calls it prayer warrior, whatever. The Lord laid it on my heart. It's a job, okay? What I'll tell her, though, is I said, Mom, I don't want you to pray less. I want you to disciple more, all right? Fill in the blank. I don't want you to pray less. So when you're looking and going, well, wait, I should train my kids. I don't want you to train your kids less. I want you to find the other things that God says are important. You go, well, how does it fit? I don't know. But once you realize you have to do it, right? Sorry, you're tired of hearing it. It was very real in my life when there's a dead mother-in-law in the back bedroom. I mean, Jim, Linda, and I were busy doing a tree in the backyard. You're like, well, Linda goes, well, it's a little awkward. Maybe we should leave. It's like, well, I don't know. What do you do? What do you do? Do we all sit around for 3 weeks waiting for her to die? Oh, she died. Well, you know what? We have to do something about it. We're going to have to. It kind of made a weird day, right? But it fit in. And I look at my life for as much as I'll grumble about it. The stuff that comes in that you have to deal with. You get a flat tire, you have to deal with it. Or else you get on somebody's, you know, YouTube meme for driving down the road without a tire, right? You got to deal with it. So what we're saying is, as you contemplate the things that are important to Jesus, and he says, leave your nets and follow, you're going to, well, what's this going to work? What's going to happen in our business? Do I have a retirement? Do I come back to this? I don't know. But wait, if he said it, then you got to do it. So what we're looking for is you got to sift through and make sure that he's saying it, right? You can't have he's saying because John Davis said. You can't have it and because she said it because he said it. You got to sift through it and think, this is where you take his yoke and learn of him. So in 2 Corinthians 5, we were working toward the end of the chapter where it talked about us being ambassadors for Christ. And we said, how do we get there? Remember in the first verses, we talked about earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down. We have a building from God. It was talking about earthly versus heavenly, all right? Earthly is decaying. Need a heavenly. Where does the heavenly come from? From God. Well, you know what that makes us do? Focus on the God who gives us the heavenly. You see that in verses 5 and 6. So therefore, because we want something that's eternal, because he's given us eternal, we look to God, and there's a personal there. He's not just giving of that life. He's calling us to himself.
So therefore, we have as our ambition, verse 9, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Okay, I believe most of us in here want to live pleasing to the Lord. Okay, and why? Well, here, you're going to be judged on it. You're going to be held accountable. All right, so therefore, verse 11, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. What do you persuade men? Live for the eternal, not for the fleshly. Live for the eternal, not for the fleshly. Okay? And if you live for the eternal, why? Because God. They go, I don't want to deal with God. Oh, you got to deal with God. We're all going to be judged by him. Oh, I don't want to deal with God judging. Good, then you're the final judge. Well, now he goes on and says, hey, we're not wacky here, like in verse 12 and 13. He goes, we're not wacky here. This is God's reality. So you don't have to be embarrassed about us. In fact, you could be proud of us. This is something that is precious. We have been given a building from God, but we care for you. The love which he had for us, look at verse 14. The love of Christ controls us, and that word drives us, right? Anybody looking at it, what does your translation say beside control? What? Constrain, all right? Is that King James? Yeah, King James. Constrains means I got to do something, right? Controls means it fills it all up. You got something else? What does it say? Okay, you don't, because the NIV or ESV, I think it's going to say propel or it's going to drive us, all right? There you go. Okay? All right? Action. Now, see, and I'm afraid that a lot of us have done things out of duty, guilt, or fear, okay? Now, you need to do things out of duty, guilt, or fear. Why? He's God. And this makes it very clear. You just say, well, I don't know, I don't feel his love. I got to do it for love. Yeah, okay, but the first thing you see in here is we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give accountable. So, but then when you look and you realize this pressure that's going to push us forward is something that's greater, you start seeing it's not just I'm going to answer, but I'm going to answer to him, the one who loved me and gave himself up for me. Now you see that pressure is love. If you're running under any other pressure, you need to see him more, okay? And that's why, oh yeah, right? Weren't we going to do that Sunday school class called Behold Our God? Yeah, we are, because I'm tired of moving it for church dinners, so it's sitting under there. We'll get to it. But this is important. Why did I mention that, Pastor? Because that's what's going on everywhere. Is he wrong? Maybe. But you know what's scary? That means we're all one wrong away from separating from each other. Now, sometimes we should. Sometimes something's gone too far. On the other side, you know what that means? Do you know how big some of these issues are? We never get time to talk through any of them. We just get halfway through and whoop, we got to go halfway through, start over again, halfway through, whoop, and you got half-baked cookies all over the place with people going, oh, this is like my last church. This is like my last church, the last church. We never get to continue the discussion, okay? And that's what we're looking to do. Not chain your consciences to each other, but help you to consider things all the way down and live together while we're doing it. It's too much pressure on all of us to have to figure it all out right away. What we can do is take his yoke and learn. And as we bump into each other, somebody was talking to me yesterday about that, said, I think if we show charity to each other, it'll give what's needed to be able to not hurt each other with our honesty. And you say, yeah, well, of course, we're supposed to show love. Do you know how much is included in God's love that goes out the window when we think we've done enough? For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. He died for all, so they who live might no longer live for themselves. There it is. It isn't just that God trumps your ambitions and dreams. It's as the gospel grows in your heart, you realize that your ambitions and dreams, if they are anywhere other than God's ambitions and dreams, you have settled for less. You can say that it's another God, it's an idol, all that other junk. But at the end of the day, it's not only another idol. You've settled for less. When God gives you himself, it's because He is the highest. To say, okay, you could do that. I'll let you in heaven. You enjoy that. Go have your life over here. It's like, no. No. So that's part of the growth of faith, is comparing our ambitions and dreams with His. So that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Okay, now he goes, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him this way no longer. Meaning, they're just a few years away from Jesus walking among them. They have eyewitnesses. Whatever they wanted to do, they said, we saw this. He said, we knew Him according to the flesh. That's not. Shoop, he went. He said He's coming back, all right? Something happened when He was resurrected, all right? There was a new body. Oh, that's what the chapter starts with. So he goes, that's what's important. I want that new body that Christ had. All right? That's what Pastor talked about last week, about the Holy Spirit being a sign, a seal, until the day of redemption. Right? We recognize no one according to the flesh. Do you have a fleshly body? Do you have a fleshly body? Do you have a fleshly body? No. We want a building from God, not made with hands. We recognize no one according to the flesh. If anyone's in Christ, new creature, old things passed away, new things have come. Stop saying, therefore, all my habits should be fixed and everything should be right. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying my identity is now in the eternal. My identity is in the eternal. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and your mission was tied to your salvation. Your mission. You weren't saved to run around and say, I'm saved. You were saved to run around, and He gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to Himself. Not counting their trespasses against them, He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. There's the gospel. There is a way for you not to be known by all the things that you've done that have fallen short of God's glory. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. If it's this sure that it's going to take place, look at the mercy of God in not cramming this stuff, appealing to us, saying, look, see the love of God to you. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He took your record, your sinful record, and He took Christ's perfect record, and He gave us Christ's perfect record, and He took our sins on Himself. Again, if you haven't got this straight, that is the active obedience of Christ. Every time you say Jesus died for my sins, you're talking about the passive obedience of Christ. We needed His death to take away the wrath of God for the sins. You needed His obedience to bring you into fellowship with the holy God. It's no good. If you take away His wrath and you can never get with God again. All right. The glory of salvation is that you have not just been saved from hell, that you have been brought back to fellowship with God as you were created to be. That's the message of the gospel. By focusing on hell and your deeds and all that, you miss the glory of what we were created for, finding our identity in Christ. Okay. So the focus of 2 Corinthians 5 starts with the life and death, then the love of Christ controls us. Christ is entreating through us to be reconciled to God. He's called us to what we have received to go out and call others to. What? All right, here we go. Whoop, 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 whoop. Who? Is that you or me? Yay. Okay. Oh, look at that. All the answers were up there. They're on the website called Living Faith, capital L, capital F. I'd love to help you find it. What does making disciples of Jesus include? Ready? Go. It's a free-for-all. You're thinking it. It belongs on the wall. You're going to be so famous because it goes right on the website then, too. Go ahead, Pastor. What does it include?
Sure, you're a disciple.
What?
Making sure that you yourself are a disciple.
Okay. Okay. And so, Tracy, the easy answer to what you're saying is just keep following Christ yourself. Because if you follow Christ, He's going to say, don't do that, do this. if you follow Christ. Because the other option is you go, oh, John David says, and he's a pastor, and he seems to know something. I don't always agree with him, but John David. Just keep following Christ. And you include it. You take this home, you wrestle with it, you think through, and then you go, okay, fine. I see that part, but I don't see that part. Okay. It's remember Jesus with the miracle of that guy that was blind? Remember the one time he did it? Yeah, I see men like trees walking. He's like, oh, wait, I messed up. Here, let's try to take two. Right? Isn't that quite a miracle? You sit there and go, why in the world do you have to do mud in the first place and spit? Couldn't he just say, you can see? And he did other times. That time, he didn't. And you start realizing, remember, it isn't just about you understanding. There's more going on than you just understanding. You want to grow in trust for God, not in trust for other people. And that being said, I'm not saying you shouldn't trust anybody. We are his ambassadors. Remember the parable of the vineyard where he said, you know, I sent all these people to go collect my fruit and they killed one. Remember that one? Right? So you realize we are part of the process with each other. But what do we need to do? He's saying, yeah, she's got it. Make sure that you yourself are a disciple. And that's not a creepy thing to try to say, beat yourself up and say, I'm probably not saved. What does it mean? It means just follow. Follow. Just follow. Okay? That you cannot make disciples. And that's my point. If you didn't follow that trajectory in 2 Corinthians 5, do that. I don't apologize for going through that so many weeks. I want you grounded in the Word, not just in another process for the church. See the process that drove Paul and figure out how that drove, and then you can figure out how to get your lawn mowed and do all this too. All right? I don't have easy answers. There's too many pieces for all of us, okay? So just grow as a disciple yourself. Go ahead. What does making disciples of Jesus include? All right, there it is. Jim, Brian, Cole. Luke, you can give her the other one.
Whether at work, in the marketplace, or at home, living the life of Christ is imperative, but the more imperative thing is to engage people.
Okay, making disciples. I just read this in an article this week. It says there's a shortage of pastors. Well, then there's a shortage of pastors. Pastors are responsible for equipping the next generation of pastors, whetting their appetite. Okay, if you don't think that I don't want people in the ministry or carrying the weight, you don't understand me at all. I'm just saying what we have called spiritual maturity is, I'm very concerned that it's not spiritual maturity. And that's not like Tracy was saying, she's just like black and white, give it. Don't take that as a categorical statement of everything people are calling mature is wrong. The final package of what they're looking at, I need to grow. You're probably right, because I hang myself out, you watch me live, that's very important to me inside of the church. I've heard about the pastors being the fishbowl. One of the reasons I'm so blunt is I don't want there to be any difference between what you see and hear from me here as if you bumped in on me by ringing my doorbell. Okay? You say, John David gets a little wound up sometimes. You ring the doorbell. I go, oh, John David's wound up. I'm like, yeah, he's wound up at church. He's wound up here. Right? Okay? And I want there to be a transparency. All right? So we're not looking for perfection in anybody. And you go, well, maybe you're not qualified. Okay, fine. Before we can get to the horizontal conclusions, we have to think, is our standard there? But to disciple people, you have to engage people wherever you are. And that's one of the reasons why I throw it out here. I don't throw it to be mean. It's not like I'm always right, you're always wrong. I'm excited with the growth. When we get to that future grace question, which is the signal to you that we're at the end of this discussion, why did it take 8 years to get through future grace? Okay, I think that the purposes that I was looking for are finally taking place in here. I'm ecstatic for the growth, okay? But part of it includes you recognizing we have to be intentional to look. It won't just happen. It won't happen in the church. It won't happen in your family, okay? That we will not grow without somebody saying, show me your credentials. Show me where you're heading. Let's talk about that, okay? And usually realize you're going to get a little miffed when people start messing with that, because we're not used to having people analyze where we're heading. If I go around the room, I ask you, who has questioned the priorities in your life and your goals? And usually it'll be your spouse or somebody, your parents. Who else? In making disciples, it means you're going to have to engage people intentionally, wherever you are. Okay, where is it, Brian?
Teaching people what Jesus said.
You want it simple? There it is. You get it. You say it back. You say it right back to them. You get it. You say it back to them. That's why if all we're talking about is... All right. So we've had an ongoing discussion about my dislike for the Love Languages book. Gave Sheldon and Megan a pass. Harold gave me another reason where it was helpful, and I get that. That sounded good. But Hannah and Zach and I were talking about it, and I said, where is it positive? I told him those examples. I said, what are my concerns? Why am I so concerned about it? And they picked it out. They pulled it out on their own without me feeding it to them. Okay? Last night, they must have been at a Christian bookstore, and they go, John David, here's your section. Because there was like every version of the Love Languages. Like love languages when you're grumpy, love languages for how, 5 ways to say an apology, 5 ways for men to love, 5 ways for, it was like the whole love languages thing. And so I said, thanks for the smile, and I found a GIF for them, and it said, my love language is tacos. And then this one over here, the girl said, my love language is talking about love languages, okay? All right? And so the thing is, if we're so focused on what we're focused on, if it isn't Christ, then you're going to pass on what you're focused on. My concern with politics and the church right now is not that we shouldn't be involved in politics. What's going around the pastoral blog is whatever the answer is with politics, it shows the lack of mission for the people of God when there's so much room for them to focus on politics right now. We need to. There's a problem going on. You go, yes, but we need to address it. Yes, you're right. But if you were busy with the mission of the church, it would take up less of your time. Okay? Teach people what Jesus said. In order for you to do that, you have to be taking in. Take in. Take in. Take in. Give out. Nicole.
I'm going to take a page out of our youth group study.
Yes.
You have to love souls.
You have to love them. You know what I'm saying? I'm afraid people are there for whether they're helping us to become a better self. That's my problem with some of the love language thing. We're more looking for what I need to grow. I need to be fulfilled. And we don't even think of it that way, because most of us would die if we found out we were selfish. Okay? But I think we're way more selfish than we realize. And how does that realize? Okay, I'm a knucklehead, all right? Put me in special needs program. You know what? Say, as soon as you could prove I have special needs, there would be somebody that's looking for rights for John David. But because you think I'm supposedly normal, you're able to cancel me. You don't have to continue to deal with me. I don't care about me. I care about her and him and her. These people, not the fantasy people in your heads, that are somehow easier to deal with. You deal with each other. You have to love souls. Where is it? Stan? And then it's back here.
A couple things. First is that we have to be careful that we're not just cloning ourselves.
Yes. Yes. Which is why I keep pushing against we're not discipling. Let's start discipling. All right. I say that on one side. On the other side, the reason I say it is because we are discipling. Do you realize it's more caught than taught? Do you know that when somebody in here gets pushed, do you know what? I'll hear everybody else that that did worse than whatever that person's doing. They're going, well, why aren't you pushing on them? All right? Your names will come up. All right? What?
At least we never run out of things to work on that way.
Right, and which is why I'm saying when you realize how big the issue is, then you'll relax. In for a life of Jesus working, to conform me to the image of his son. And I might not get to all the pieces, but it's okay. My love for his love for me is not dependent on me getting that. It's dependent, 2 Corinthians 5:21, on his righteousness that he put on my account. I want to be more useful. That's why you want to get things right. I want to be more useful. I want to be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. It's a long process, all right? If you think and you're right about change in my life, guys, it's long. I want to change. You're thinking, blockhead, why does he keep doing this? Well, why do you keep doing that? And sometimes you don't even know why you do that. The same with me. I don't know why I do that. I do know that I want God to keep working in my life. Okay? So be careful of cloning ourselves. What does that mean? It's a slow process. You got to go, here's what I saw. I might be missing something, but it was so exciting I wanted to share it with you. Go ahead. Do you want to finish?
The second part is about the soil of the heart. Tony Evans was talking this morning something that we had touched on yesterday at Men's Fellowship, and that was that the seed is the starting point. So often we think, well, I got the word, that's all I need. But it's how the seed is grown. And what makes a difference of how it's grown is the soil that it's planted in that creates the environment for it to grow properly. And so we need to be working on our soil as well as the soil of those who we're trying to disciple.
Did you hear that? That was a new thing for me through the years. It wasn't just whether things were right or wrong, okay? It was how people were processing that thing. Sometimes, and that's why one of the reasons Jesus spoke in parables, you know? Sometimes he spoke in parables so that they would understand. Other times he spoke in parables so they wouldn't understand. Remember then Jesus said, many other things I want to tell you, but you're not yet ready for it. He gave them pieces that wouldn't germinate till later. One of the encouragements for me, well, somebody that's now a mess and apart, but it was encouraging years ago when they said, well, why didn't you say this 5 years ago? And I said, I have. I've been saying it for 5 years. But they finally realized what was being said. Somebody else said, I read that book 3 times and I couldn't find what you found in it. And now I found it. Why did it take me 3 times to read it? See, that's what I'm saying. You don't have to get what I'm getting. Be careful of cloning yourself. But you do also want to say, who am I being mentored by? And that's why I was talking about, it's amazing how quick we throw out those that have studied more than us because they're too intimidating and they think they're always right and they're arrogant and all that. And we find people that are just as unstudied as us and we go, well, I don't know, 10 people agree with me and it's somehow right, okay? You have to cultivate the seed, the soil that the seed is growing in. Part of disciple making is making sure, are they ready to hear that? Not are they going to get mad. Who cares about whether they get mad? It's what they do after they get mad. Is it going to do it in a way that builds fruit that, you know, whatever the good soil was, you know? It multiplied. It multiplied. And that's why I'm saying if we get the right roots, the fruit, you stand back and you didn't go, I did that. Look at all the fruit in Stan's life. I did that, right? You can't. You just realize, I don't know, I've been fighting with him for years. What's going on? It's like he dealt with God. And you go, John David's changed. It's like, well, go ahead. You can take credit. You're part of it. But the other part is that look what God's word has done inside of their heart. Now, they're moving by the word. That's what will keep us from being puppets. You know, that's why I grin when everybody's talking about, well, they all have to look alike in that church. Yeah, we want the unity of the faith. It's funny that people that are trying not to look alike end up looking alike, and it's not like Christ. It's very trendy how we end up looking alike, okay? So be careful. It's a slow process. The soil, how are you cultivating the soil? Meaning when you build relationships with people, it's going to take years before sometimes you can even say some of the things that you think need to be said. Pyramid. This is what needs to be said, but they need to change this or this or this. And you can't control that, but this is where you focus. The pieces underneath. When they change, all of a sudden you can say this and it's actually profitable. That's part of growth as well. There was 2 or 3 others. Jonathan.
This is a bunch of random thoughts, but yeah. I think the most
Well, the first place we have to start is figuring out for ourselves, why would we want to do this, and why should we want to do this?
To make disciples.
And to make disciples. And I guess this is where we go to that thing you mentioned. We're not looking to be like, okay, where am I doing things too much to get rid of? It's always, where can I be doing something more? And as for why we'd want to do this, the one easy answer would be like, well, because we're commanded to. And I don't know, maybe we don't want to, but that's what makes us do it. But
we have to wrestle with that part.
Which, yeah, that's not the right place. But this is a command that we're supposed to want to do. I guess the way Mark Dever defines discipling and discipleship, he would say, and this is his definition, is learning under God to follow God more, pretty much. And then discipling is just helping others follow Jesus. It's not this giant, I'm a master teaching my apprentice sort of thing. It's helping others follow Jesus. So why would we want to make disciples? Why would we want to help others follow Jesus? It all comes back to, well, why would we want to follow Jesus? Why is he valuable? Why is he important? And yes, we're not perfect and we have fears and maybe we have to settle for doing it because we're commanded to a little too much. But we have to start with, loving Jesus more ourselves, and that will help it flow
right
naturally.
Right. Right. Why do we want to follow Jesus? And sorry, Nicole, establishing value. And sometimes you have the value, but all the old hymns would talk about, richer, fuller, sweeter, Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the days go by, all right? They're talking about growing. It's not just the words of Jesus died for me, okay? You know what blows me away? Not that the Puritans are always right, that the things you say in one sentence, they can take 500 pages to talk about. My point isn't are they right? My point is they could talk about it for 500 pages in words that you don't understand. And you have to say, and I just said, well, it was simple. He died for me. You remember? The one who is forgiven much loves much. And the more you start realizing things from an eternal perspective, the more you start realizing, I thought it was valuable before, but now it's priceless. See, when it's so you're right. So, and that's why I'm sorry, God forgive me. I'm not God when I throw down the gauntlet in wrong places. And I hope to make you, if you get frustrated, I hope you get frustrated about the right things. I'm sorry when I cloud the air. But see, the real problem is not just we're failing at discipleship. The real problem is we're failing at loving Jesus. Well, you go, well, stop. I don't like being told I'm a failure. Well, then what do? Take his yoke and learn. You go, well, that's what I'm trying to do. Good. Keep going. You want the polite way to say it? We're in kindergarten. They say that's an insult. Well, I don't know. From eternity, that's not an insult. From eternity's perspective, right? Isaiah, the rest of them fell on their faces. Lord, would you show us the privilege of being able to be brought behind the Holy of Holies, into the Holy of Holies, where there's so many rules and regulations because you are holy. And we have been given access. Would you help us, Father, to show reverence, even in the humility of learning? I am ecstatic for signs of grace inside of this group. I'm ecstatic that the Word of God is dwelling more richly inside of lives, that you are helping get antidotes to the distractions that so easily entangle, that you're helping people who are drowning in sin to be able to get that to the surface and say, God, free me from this. I'm ecstatic that people are starting to say life is short, and so I need to be prepared for eternity. So would you help us, Father? Would you show us more of yourself so that we can grow in grace, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and Father, not only be tied closer to you, but then you help give us work to do with each other, and also the peace that comes from recognizing you are the shepherd, you are the enabler, and you will help us to be able to go from where we are to grow so that you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.